Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're beginning in verse 12 today. If you didn't hear verses 1 through 11, they are available on the website, and you missed a blessing. But we hope that you'll be reading ahead in 2 Corinthians and getting a feel for the flow of this whole letter as we study through it together by God's grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. "Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us, just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Because I was confident of this, I planned to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I planned to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. When I planned this, did I do it lightly? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say, yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I call God as my witness that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy because it is by faith you stand firm." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The title of this morning's message is God's Guarantee. I have a son. I have six sons. One of my sons bought a truck yesterday. It was a used truck. It is a used diesel truck from a dealer that was located about four and a half hours away from here up in Kentucky. When you buy a new vehicle, it comes with a warranty from the manufacturer. When you buy a used vehicle with close to 100,000 miles on it, that warranty usually has expired. And so then the question becomes, can you get another warranty on this? My goodness, yes, you can. I get offers constantly from people who want to sell me a warranty or a guarantee for appliances, automobiles, my house. They'll do the whole house. Isn't that nice? I trust you know that a warranty or a guarantee is only as good as the one who makes it. Okay? If I were to stand here and guarantee you that I can train you starting next week for a period of 30 days. And you will not only look great, but you will be able to make the Olympic team in the sport of your choice. Okay? Does require $5,000 up front to me, non-refundable. However, in 30 days, I can have you a great athlete, provided, of course, that you meet the terms of the agreement and do the things that I say you have to do. Well, there's the end of that. Because all I've got to do is assign you some things that you can't do, and then I say, well, you voided the warranty. I'm sorry. You didn't do the things I said. I said right here that you had to do what I told you to do, and I said you got to get out there and run that 4-minute mile. That's one of the first things we do just to get you in shape. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, have you read any of those warranties and guarantees that people try and sell? I mean, they deliberately set you up for failure. We will guarantee the engine unless you open the hood. You know, I mean, it's just absurd. Well, folks, let me ask you, when it comes to eternal life, who do you look for to give you a guarantee? Jesus, great answer. See, if you're looking to your feelings, someday you're going to say, yes, I'm going to heaven. I just know it. God has changed my life. I can tell. And other days you're going to be like, I don't even feel like a Christian today. I feel just totally hopeless. I don't think I'm going to make it. If you're going on the basis of your feelings, your guarantee is lousy. It is not valid. It's void. If you're going on the basis of tradition or the teachings of some organization, maybe your favorite denomination, whatever it may be, if that's the basis on which you're going, sorry, it's not going to hold up. Sooner or later, you're going to find things out that cause you to question that organization, that denomination, that tradition, whatever it might be. And you're going to say, oh, well, if that's not true, I wonder if this guarantee is valid. I asked someone this past week who was talking with me about their salvation. I said, do you know for certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? Yes. Yes, I do. And I said, well, that's wonderfully reassuring, isn't it? And I said, now, let me ask you something. Why? Why would you go to heaven? Because I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I said, you know, I'm so glad that you asked him to save you. But I would love for you to change the emphasis in your answer. Because you're not going to go to heaven because you asked him to save you. You're going to go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross and rose again to save you. That's why we ask him. But we're not saved because we prayed a prayer, because we signed a card, because we raised our hand, because we walked an aisle, because we got dunked in the water, because we joined the church, because we tithe or teach or whatever it is. That's not why we're saved. We're saved because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. But I've got to ask you, do you believe in him or do you believe in you? Because if you believe in you, sorry. Nobody, the Bible says, nobody is going to go to heaven based on their performance, based on what they did, by keeping the law. That's what it says repeatedly, not just in Romans. Repeatedly, we're told nobody is good enough. Oh, so is there hope for any of us? There's hope for all of us. If you trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone for your salvation, he has saved you. You're not going to heaven because of what you've done. The reason you're trusting him is because he has saved you. Because that does not come naturally to us. We do not naturally tend to admit our sin. We might admit, well, I know I've made some mistakes. You know, everybody makes mistakes. And nobody's perfect. And I know, you know, I know I'm not perfect. I mean, I've done some things I'm not proud of. I'm really, you know, I'm just like everybody else. Maybe a little better than some, but I mean, that's human nature. But God's work in us produces a prayer, something along the lines that Jesus told about the man praying up at the temple. God, be merciful to me, sinner.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding out. If you really are brought to the point of repentance, you're going to realize you got zero excuses. There is nothing that you can say to defend yourself. And your only hope is His grace. That's what it's about. So, when Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he's in an awkward spot because he's the one who taught them about God's grace, about God's promises, about how they can have eternal life. And then he tells them, I'm planning on coming to see you. And I'd like to see you twice, but it's coming up soon. I've got a trip I've got to make. And I'm planning on coming to see you. And he didn't show up. He didn't show up. And so now the Corinthians are like, hey, what happened? Well, what else did he tell us that isn't going to turn out to be true? I mean, this was the guy we thought was preaching the truth, and he said he was coming, and now he didn't come. Clearly, Paul's plans changed. So now he is reassuring these Corinthians that his love for them has not changed. And God's love for them has not changed. And the promises of God have not changed. And so their confidence in God and His grace and His promises should not be shaken. He starts out talking about, hey, we have done right by you. Okay? I know we didn't show up when we said, but the fact of the matter is, we have behaved toward you in a godly manner. Now, some of us are kind of embarrassed and off-put by that statement because, you know, people aren't supposed to talk about themselves. And if they do talk about themselves, it's only okay to use self-deprecatory humor. You're not supposed to say, I did the right thing, unless you're an ungodly person. And Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, hey, we've treated you right. That's what he's saying. He says, the reason we did the right thing in relation with you is because we get that from God. God is the one who's made us that way. We've done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. Again, who gets the praise? Who gets the honor? It's God. And then he says this, verse 13, for we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand, and I hope that as you've understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. He says, judgment's coming, and we're going to say to the Lord, look at them. Isn't that nice? Kind of like a parent says about their child, that's my son. Okay? That, you know, isn't that great? We think he's wonderful. Okay? So, Paul says, we have this relationship with you. And don't overlook this because I think it's a good lesson for those of us who preach. Okay? He says, we work to be understood. Now, I actually know some preachers who don't. They deliberately use impressive words. My dad was a great man, and my dad was a fine preacher, but dad had been brought up in a school of thought that basically, in order to give credibility to the message, you need to use elevated language. And it spilled over, not just in the pulpit, but in dad's everyday life. And I said to him one time when I was about 12, Dad, Why do you say there was a great conflagration instead of there was a big fire? You know what great conflagration means? Big fire. Everybody knows what big fire is. But if you say, and by the time that we arrived, it was a great conflagration. Is that like a pile of confetti or something on top of a cake? I don't know. I don't know what we're talking about. But I know preachers who do that all the time. Paul says, we're writing to you, and we're not writing anything you can't understand. And even though you don't fully understand it, we believe you will in time. But even right now, you can understand what we write to you. We deliberately write so as to be understood. I thank God that my first pastorate was in a town where God brought us a bunch of commercial fishermen, carpenters, tradesmen of various kinds, store clerks, chambermaids, all kinds of folks who did not have great education. And so I deliberately crafted my messages and chose my vocabulary in order to be understood by the children in the room. Because I knew that if the children could understand me, it was likely most of the adults would be able to as well. Right? That was the goal. Folks, that is a biblical goal. Don't try and impress people with your vocabulary. Don't try and impress them with all the things you know. Point them to Jesus. I was sharing with someone what someone had just shared with me a few days back about, it's a story of the great preacher, famous preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon in London. It's said that Spurgeon and another preacher both preached back to back. The other man preached first. And when he was finished, people said, oh, what a sermon. And when Spurgeon preached, people said, oh, what a savior. That's the goal. That's the goal. Point people to Jesus. He's the one. So Paul, in defending himself and trying to shore up these folks' confidence, says, we didn't make it complicated. It's important for us to keep our commitments. And as a result, we should be careful, but not unwilling, about making commitments. Don't come to the point, well, I don't ever want to break a commitment, so I'm just not going to make any commitments. I may go to the store tomorrow. I don't know. Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not going to say that I'll go to the store tomorrow, because what if I don't go to the store? Then I would be going back on my word, so I'm just going to tell you that I'm contemplating going to the store tomorrow. Okay. I have known people who were so concerned that things might not go as planned that they just didn't make plans. That's not an improvement. Okay? On the other hand, we need to be careful that we don't frivolously make commitments as if we control everything. The book of James specifically addresses this, and it says, don't say tomorrow we will go to thus and such a city. Say, if it is the Lord's will, we will go. Paul's plans had changed. The people were kind of shaken by that. He's writing to them and telling them, God still loves you. And we still love you too. And God's promises still stand. Point number two, unlike our plans, which are subject to change, God's plans are certain. God's not making this stuff up as he goes along. God knows the end from the beginning. Before a word is on our tongue, the Lord knows it altogether. Without being the author of evil, God is at work in every detail to accomplish his purpose. That's very reassuring. That gives you confidence, and that's what Paul is telling the Corinthians about. God's plans are certain, and his word is always fulfilled, and the ultimate fulfillment is Christ Jesus. He says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes and amen in Christ. And so Jesus is the yes, and we get to say amen. So when you and I are facing traumatic circumstances, disappointment, whatever it might be, and it seems like, how can this be a part of God's plan? God's at work, and he's keeping all of his promises. Because God never said, follow me and it'll be easy. Didn't say that. In fact, he said, follow me and it'll be costly. That's what he said. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Die daily. Die to self. Not indulge yourself. He didn't say, take up your cushion and follow me. That's what I would have voted for. Cross or cushion? I'd like cushions. Okay? But he says, no, it's a cross. You're going to die. It's going to cost you everything. But take courage. I've already overcome the world. You know, I'm afraid if I do the, I know this is the right thing to do, but if I do the right thing, it could cost me. Could cost you, will cost you. It will cost you to do the right thing. Guaranteed. It will be costly to do the right thing. But it's still the right thing. You never come out ahead by doing the wrong thing. Do what God says. And know that all of God's promises, not just most of them, all his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But then the third thing is that God has given us a guarantee. Paul doesn't say, and I am giving you my personal guarantee. He says, you have a guarantee on God's promises, and it's from God himself, and it is God himself. Did you hear that? It's not just from God. The guarantee is God. God himself gives himself in order that he might live his life through us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, says Colossians 1:27. Christ in you. And look at what Paul says here by the Spirit. He says, now it is God, verse 21, who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. See, that's why he has confidence. God makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. What's the guarantee? God. It's not just something from God, it's God. He is with us, and he is within us. Jesus is Emmanuel. But now that Jesus has ascended to the Father and is seated at the Father's right hand, he has sent his Holy Spirit to live in and through us. That, Jesus says, is even better. Because the Holy Spirit is not almost like God. The Holy Spirit is God. So think about it. Whatever you're in the midst of, whatever you're going through, however painful and difficult and frustrating and scary it might be, God isn't just nearby. If you are trusting in him as your Lord and Savior, he is in you. He is in you. That is our guarantee. God has given us himself so that we don't have to be afraid no matter what happens. And if plans change, and they will, God's plan is still in play. If things don't go the way we had laid out, God is still at work. God doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that coming. God always knows. He's always working. And he will work all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.